Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheet. This is the show where we compile all the news from the week, kind of like midweek. We're shooting this on Wednesday instead of usual on Thursday.
Because I'm going on vacation.
Because you're going on vacation. So if there's any huge breaking news,
you're on your own,
that drops with the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which is usually we just copy.
That's not true. We don't do that. Why do you keep saying that?
Because it's funny. Because here's the thing, so many people do.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. So many like other dirt sheets. According to Wrestling Observer. So, you know, it's a wealth of information.
Oh, it is. Yes. I'm not dismissing Meltzer's weekly newsletter, because it is. It's a wealth of information and analysis.
Exactly.
It's a treasure for any wrestling
so it's
fan.
It's just funny, because seemingly every news story is
now
like...
Now it seems like you're shooting on wrestling news sites.
Oh, I don't care about that. Hey, we use them too. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. But anyways, that's what the Dirt Sheet is. And if something huge breaks...
Yeah, like you're on your own.
From when you leave to when you get back, I'm getting on here... I'm going to do like a little cutout, like a Photoshop of you just sitting here.
And you use your mouth to animate my mouth, a la Conan O'Brien.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'll do that. But this is news from the week that was.
Yes.
And we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We had like 50 people watching our SmackDown recap today. They're all $5 and up patrons every month. This is for five lousy dollars. You can watch three of our...
Oh, five lousy dollars. At least said $5,000.
For $5,000. No, for five lousy dollars, you can watch our live streams and interact with us. We always have good conversations before and afterwards, like a pre-show and a post-show. And then on Friday, every Friday, it's a $5 and up mark, you get non-news.
Non-news.
Which is all the non-news that I compile from the week, and then we talk about it here on the show.
Yes.
We have to remember to shoot that after this. We forgot to shoot it last time.
So let's get... to the news.
Okay.
So there have been multiple outlets, including Wrestling Observer and Cage Side Seats, have reported earlier this week that the possibility of maybe possibly some roster cuts happening in the near future based on some recent news. Yeah, it's literally one sentence in Cage Side Seats.
Mm-hmm.
Based on recent news of budget cuts within the WWE, specifically relating to the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Network is its own kind of entity. That I'm sure has a budget unto itself,
right?
Or I would think it'd have a budget unto itself.
Yeah.
So who knows if payroll essentially,
right,
is in any way affected by the revenue of the Network? I don't know.
Given how much they pay people, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they got rid of if they did some roster cuts. When was the last time we had? It's been a while since we've had like a deep roster cut.
Yeah, I feel like it was not after the last WrestleMania, but the WrestleMania before.
Yeah, because last WrestleMania. There wasn't
any cuts really of consequence.
I mean, they've been loading up ever since the brand split. They'd been sort of loading up, and then they've been standing pat.
Yeah.
But whenever there is something where multiple wrestlers can be possibly potentially involved, we like to do power rankings.
Yes.
So we're going to do power rankings.
Power
right
rankings.
Now.
Yeah. It seems like the last major rounds of.
It's like when Adam Rose
and Wade Barrett, Sandow,
that was just a big surprise.
And that was all after WrestleMania in 2016.
Oh, wow.
So it was last year.
All right. Well, it's time.
Power rankings. Because, Number one,
they got rid of Pyro. They're getting rid of like shows.
Yeah, Edge and Christian's show on the Network's gone.
That's not coming back?
Yeah, it got canceled.
What a bummer. It seems like it might be a bit much to produce, though.
It could be.
It's a lot they pack into that show.
Yeah.
We're gonna do power rankings, and these are people that most likely to get cut. Nobody we want. We don't want any of these people to get cut.
We don't want anybody to lose their job.
And if they do, we want them to have you can make a huge career on the indie wrestling scene these
Correct.
Days. So we don't want to see anybody get cut, but these are kind of most likely.
Yeah, number one, Paige.
You say Paige? See,
yeah.
I think out of spite, she's number five.
Well, I think if she is charged with in the
Okay, but that's kind of a difference, though. There's kind of a difference there.
No,
that's
I
really
know
a roster cut.
I understand. Well, it is, but just for different reasons. It's not a budgetary roster cut, although it could be explained that way. Like she's gotten into some trouble. She's recuperating from injury. She's not really in our future plans.
Yeah.
Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Page number five.
Okay. As long as she's on there.
Number one. I'm here to show the world. Oh. I'm here to show the world. Goodbye. Where has Dolph Ziggler been? It would not surprise me at all if they said Dolph Ziggler has been released by the WWE. Future endeavors. I hope not. I like Dolph.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, they haven't really found anything good to do with him since the Miz feud.
Yeah.
Culminated at No Mercy.
Yeah, he did that. He had that feud with Nakamura.
Nakamura.
That wasn't that great.
No, because there was never anything. It's like, okay, you know you're just the guy who's going to sell a lot for Nakamura.
Yeah.
But I could tell, because here's the thing about Dolph Ziggler also. He's been in the WWE virtually his entire career.
Yeah.
So
more than a decade.
I would love to. He's like kind of a Cody Rhodes guy. I'd love to see him go somewhere else. And here's the difference between him and Cody Rhodes, is that with Cody Rhodes, we haven't really seen a different wrestling Cody Rhodes in Japan, in New Japan. With Dolph Ziggler, we might see more. He might be more interested in doing those second row pile drivers.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Number one. Number two.
I Darren Young might have to be on that list.
Oh, yeah.
As much as I would not like him to see him be released.
Oh, I love Darren Young.
I like Darren Young a lot.
I think he's great.
He's been on the shelf with injury for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I was curious to see where they were going to take the feud with, or not, sorry, not the feud, the storyline with Backlund.
The partnership with Bob Backlund.
And then they
just
stopped it. He wasn't on TV for a while. I guess he was still wrestling live events and then hurt his elbow.
Yeah.
And it's been out injured for a while.
Yeah. What do you say about...
The colognes? Yeah, there's rumors that one of them asked for their release.
I think the colognes are a shoe-in. I really do. And then... I'm not going to say the Ascension. They've been actually on TV lately.
Yeah,
and
maybe,
they've actually been really good.
Summer Rae.
Summer... Ah, you think so? Really?
I don't know.
Probably most likely... I would say Summer Rae.
Of anybody in the women's division,
The women's division. Dana Brooke is a good jobber.
Yeah. And apparently she just joined Titus Brand, or Titus Worldwide.
That's right, yeah.
She's not going anywhere.
On a Raw Fallout video. Mm-hmm. You know what was awesome about the Raw Fallout video where she joined Titus Worldwide is Mike Rome started off holding a microphone with nothing attached to the base, and it was just camera pickup. Because I don't even know if he did this while Titus was talking, and it was all echoey and stuff.
That's funny.
And then when he left... Dana Brooke comes in and Titus O'Neil starts talking to her. Sounds the exact same. There's no microphone. That thing was not turned on. I love when they do that. That's great. Budget cuts. So, yeah, there you go. It'd be a bummer, but, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You haven't seen any of these people. I mean, Paige, you've seen her, you know, more in periscopes from Alberto Del Rio.
Or on news items on TMZ.
Or on Global Force Wrestling, sitting front row with a mask on.
True. Good point.
So she's literally been seen more on the comp. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not the competition.
On another wrestling promotion on TV.
Yeah.
You know, look, tonight. Okay, so Dirt Sheet goes up first thing Friday morning.
Correct.
So Friday evening is when my GFW reviews are going to go up, right? That's like prime time spot right there.
Mm-hmm.
Huge spotlight for Steve's GFW reviews. Are you excited that I'm bringing them to the channel?
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy way for me to make some money without doing any work.
I'm glad you see it that
way.
See,
I would watch Impact, but that is when I get Dirt Sheet ready. It's Thursday nights.
Here's the thing, dude. The prospect of us having to take it seriously doesn't interest me at all.
Who says we'd have to take it seriously? We could treat it more like our Going in Raw views.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Well, you know what? Maybe one of these days.
If we can readjust the schedule so I don't have to work Thursday nights,
We can figure it out. We can figure it out. But in the meantime, it's going to be me sitting at that desk over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Let's see here. next up in the news, Bayley. Injured? Yes or no? So during her SmackDown match.
No, Raw match with Nia
Raw
Jax.
Raw match with Nia Jax.
Yeah, she about halfway through maybe, she started holding her shoulder. There's this move, I noticed it after this one, where Nia Jax does like a face buster type thing.
Yeah.
So Bayley hits face first on the mat and she rolled out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And the ref went to check on her. She's holding her shoulder and she was down there for a while.
Yeah.
And that was when Nia, you know, got one of Bayley's hair ties, gave herself a ponytail, trying to buy some time and entertain the crowd while they figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Bayley managed to finish the match. And kind of the way the match finished, I was kind of wondering if they called an audible based on the fact that Bayley might be hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seemed kind of clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, though? Okay, so it did, but at the same time, for it seemed like a very specific set of things that happened, though.
Oh, I know.
Alexa Bliss comes out, and then when Bayley sort of fends her off, and then Nia Jax attacks Bayley, and Bayley like rolls up into the ring, and she hits the steps.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I mean, if they did that on the fly, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
You know. So the question is it real or is it a shoot?
Well, WWE,
is it real or a work?
WWE.com is reporting, as we said, that Bayley was injured. Dr. Chris Amon told WWE.com, quote, "We've determined the injury is shoulder related and she'll be going under further diagnostic testing later this week to determine the extent of the injury and also establish a timetable for recovery." And WWE.com's report also mentioned that Bayley has, or that's got, quote, "Bayley has been told to rest the shoulder until next week, at which point doctors are hopeful that the swelling will have sufficiently gone down so that she may be reevaluated and a firm verdict can be reached."
So that's what WWE is reporting.
Yes.
This has shades to me. Now, look, it would not surprise me at all if this is real. Like, yeah, you said this off camera. You said, man, if this is fake, Bayley is an amazing actress. And given what her promo skills are like, she does not seem to be an amazing actress.
The way she was selling during the match, and there's a video associated with the story in WWE.com, that it seems legit.
On the other hand, we have seen this exact same thing, only with her neck.
No, it's her knee.
Back in NXT.
It was against Nia Jax. It was the knee.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Look at that right there. Nia Jax. There's Bayley.
Did they do backstage videos then, too?
I don't think so, but then it's NXT, so it would have been like on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of her legs. That's right. It was a knee. Okay. So they've done this exact same thing with Nia Jax, only with a knee in NXT, and they left it kind of up in the air as to whether or not it was. I don't think NXT, like WWE's website, said, hey, she's injured. But you always have to take their website info with kind of a grain of salt.
At times, yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they will report on legitimate injuries.
Did they report on Braun Strowman's...
elbow, yeah.
Elbow?
But they also said he'd be out 6 months.
Yeah.
But they also reported on Finn Balor's injury, mm-hmm. which was legit. I mean, Strowman's injury was legit. The timetable for his recovery was
mm-hmm. yeah,
the work.
Was, yeah. So, you know, take it with a kind of a grain of salt. It does seem like something probably happened. I mean, for them to go to those lengths where she's all wrapped up and stuff, mm-hmm. and there's only 2 weeks out from SummerSlam, mm-hmm. Little oddball. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think? You think it's real?
Yeah, I think it's real.
Yeah.
Maybe they're overstating. They might overstate the severity if they think it'll help storyline.
Yeah, that's true. That could.
But the way she was selling in the ring, I mean, I noticed immediately that it was not, hey, I'm selling shoulder injury. My shoulder's hurt.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe she was like, yeah, it hurts, but it's not that bad. And they're like, oh, we can use this. Go ahead and wrap it up a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, because during the match, she threw some punches with that arm, her, mm-hmm. it was her right arm.
Yeah.
But then the whole rest of the time, she was holding it. Yeah. Not, you know, holding it like this, keeping it close to the body so you don't disturb the shoulder joint.
Using the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to tell.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
Yes.
I mean, that begs the question. I mean, is Sasha Banks the obvious replacement there for Bayley?
Either Sasha or they accelerate the Nia Jax storyline
That could be.
They've had for a while.
I mean, Nia Jax could easily say, hey, I put Bayley out of commission for you. And then they can either go with Sasha Banks, you know, get some revenge for Bayley and dispatching of Nia Jax, who's trying to, you know, get a number one contendership mm-hmm. next
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm-hmm.
Or... Nia Jax just gets it.
Yeah.
You know, and then she can injure Alexa Bliss because Emma tweeted out a picture after her match with Nia Jax last week with her eye like all jacked up.
Oh,
like
really?
It was all like, I don't know, it's all red in there and stuff. She's like, yeah, a war wound from this week. So now, like, you know, there's rumblings on Twitter. Oh, Nia Jax, she's not exactly the safest person around.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. She's a power wrestler. So
yeah.
It's kind of what you got to deal with, I think.
Yeah, I think so. You
know? Anyways. So people, that's what I had to deal with Vader back when I used to fight him back in the day.
You never fought Vader, it's not
no,
true.
Really?
No. You weren't the one that popped his eye out.
He popped my eye out. Oh, that's right. Stan Hansen popped my eye out. Now I'm Vader. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about money. And
well, we'll talk about Twitch.
Internet.
Twitch helping out indie wrestling.
Yeah.
So So WCPW Loaded returned this week on August 3rd.
Nice.
And it's airing live on their What Culture Extra platform.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're airing replays on YouTube on August 5th.
Okay.
And on Twitch.
The day before that.
August 4th.
Right.
And of course, it's about a month and a half ago. Granted, you know, the announcement of WCPW Loaded airing on Twitch isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's airing just kind of brought back this entire story, potentially.
Yeah.
And of course, about a month and a half ago, Wrestle Circus announced that they're going to start live streaming their shows on Twitch. And so with the combination of Wrestle Circus, WCPW now using the Twitch platform to stream their shows, it poses the question, is Twitch stepping in now to take over or at least supplement what YouTube was doing in terms of the airing of independent wrestling and providing a new revenue source for independent wrestling companies?
Well, I like that one thing that they're doing with Wrestle Circus. I'm not sure if they're going to, probably not with with WCPW, but with Wrestle Circus, you can give tips to the actual wrestlers.
Yeah, you
can
put the wrestler's name, the amount of tip, and that goes to the wrestler.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
so that's sort of an outside of the box way of doing things. I mean, look, here's the thing. This YouTube thing, you know, we've been upfront about it. It's hit everybody. Others were like, you know, we've been hit, but we haven't been hit as bad as others. You know, we're still afloat. We're fine. But Twitch is increasingly becoming an alternative for
content creators of all varieties.
Exactly, yeah. They're reaching out. So obviously Twitch before all this was strictly gaming. And then I don't know if it was because of the YouTube thing or if they had been planning it already.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Well, here's a quote from Eric Brunner, who's Twitch's sports partnership lead. I got a couple quotes here, and they're both from Bleeding Cool, the story they wrote up on the Wrestle Circus partnership. Eric Brunner said, quote, "We frequently look to our community to guide us towards the content they want to see on our platform. In the case of Wrestle Circus, they had been looking for a live streaming platform where they could effectively monetize their content and help the broader wrestling scene, and it was members of our community who rallied them on social media to consider using Twitch. Since Wrestle Circus has the same passion for their fans and talents that we do for ours, it's really cool seeing them lead the charge with this new vertical."
Mm-hmm.
So based on that quote, it seemed to be a fairly organic
mm-hmm.
thing where Wrestle Circus is looking for a platform. Their fans were aware of Twitch. A marriage was made.
Yeah.
That seems to be the case based on these quotes here.
Well, even personally speaking, we've seen, you know, there's crossover. You and I started out in the gaming sphere working for Machinima.
Yeah.
And we were able to transition our channel with success over to pro wrestling. So it's obviously, you know, crossover.
There is crossover, yes. Al Lenhart, the owner of Wrestle Circus, spoke about the partnership, saying, quote, "It's no secret that recent changes at one of the other major platforms..."
Is that Vimeo?
No, it's YouTube.
No.
"...have made it difficult for independent wrestling promotions to monetize their content. By moving over to Twitch, it is a major step into uncharted and exciting territory that allows us to reach a global audience and monetize in both traditional and creative ways without the hurdles we've experienced in the past."
Mm-hmm.
Past.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting conversation. You and I have had this conversation. We've been upfront with a lot of the friendos who come out to our to watch our WSTW fun wrestling streams. That, you know, WSTW came back on Twitch, and then I ported it over to YouTube, and then you're running fun wrestling over on YouTube.
Yes.
So live, and so. You know, we've had conversations in terms of like how we want to approach our gaming live streaming stuff.
Yes.
And there are pros and cons to everything. But, you know, Twitch is a whole new platform. It's owned by Amazon. So it's got stability behind it.
Yes.
And there is a very excited fan base of like Twitch diehard like viewers out there who really enjoy the Twitch watching experience. And this kind of thing, you know, Wrestle Circus landing there. Now WCPW in a sea of gaming, like that's like what a great way to stand out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
and as you mentioned, the opportunity to tip your favorite wrestlers they're performing is a huge new thing, not just for wrestlers, obviously. It's a new revenue stream for them.
Yeah.
But for fans watching the show to directly contribute to the financial success of the wrestlers they're fans of.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat.
Well, one day we'll take like a Going in Raw like live to like Twitch,
yeah,
and then we'll have a tip. Who do you want to tip?
Oh,
me or Larson?
Oh, I mean, I'm willing to take my shirt off. I'm gonna get all the tips, man. I'll do a whole show with my shirt
on. I got bigger boobs than you do, man. And you know, bigger boobs usually do better.
We'll see. Let's try that.
Bigger tips.
Let's put that to practice. How about that?
I'm taking my pants off.
Okay. They can't see anything. Table in the way.
Yeah, there's a table in the way of my dingus. So, yeah, that'll be fun. We'll just be begging people for tips. Please.
We're not answering your question unless you give us some money.
Exactly. Exactly. So, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Like, they're being, I like this because Twitch is being very aggressive with, you know, and creative with how they're reaching out to different things and not just saying, okay, everybody can come on in here. You know, it's like they are very selective about how they do things. Like, I've seen numerous people on my Twitter timeline, like our old friend Ricky from Machinima days. He live streams like every night on Twitch. Yep. I think it's twitch.tv/itsRickyFTW. He's rolling out new emotes all the time.
Yeah, people like the emotes.
People like the emotes, man. So that's cool. So you might see, it would not surprise me if you saw other, like, you know, wrestling promotions who have the infrastructure to actually produce, you know, a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me here with the
webcam setting up the hard camera for the ring.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, I can see that. I can see that being a staple in the future.
Yes,
that's great.
Let me answer some questions.
Yeah, let's answer some questions.
Whipping right through these stories.
Well, I mean
that's what happens when we shoot on a Wednesday.
Look, man, there's no Wrestling Observer newsletter out yet. Tomorrow, there's going to be like three bombshell stories. Broken Universe IP firmly in WWE's camp.
I'm not taking
new
off.
New shirts already leaking out.
I'm not taking off till tomorrow night. So
Once you're gone from here.
Once I'm no longer gone, in the Sacramento metropolitan area.
Once you leave that door today, that's it. You're on vacation.
No, that's not true. We're doing our 205 Live NXT recap tonight.
Well, they don't know that.
Well, now they do.
All right.
So what you say is factually incorrect.
Nate Morris. So with Bayley possibly out with a shoulder injury, should they just insert Sasha against Alexa Bliss? And if so, should she win?
Well, we spoke about that earlier. Should be either, well, like your idea, Nia versus Sasha on Raw if Bayley is too injured to compete at SummerSlam. Winner of that match faces Alexa Bliss. Whoever takes on Alexa Bliss, I feel like should win.
Yeah, me too. I like Sasha winning, and I like her turning heel as champion against Bayley, and they can pick up that feud and take it all the way to Mania.
Yes.
I think it'd be good.
Yes.
You never know. Like, somebody pointed this out on Twitter. And, one of the best ways to gain relevancy is coming back from an injury.
Yep.
You know? So if Bayley takes 3 months out to heal that shoulder, however long it's going to take.
She'll come out. She'll get a huge pop.
Big pop. Then they'll immediately put her in a storyline where she's trying to kiss a boy.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
Josh Pepper. Josh Rendo's first time Patreon here. So last year at SummerSlam, we got a small tease with the club, AJ and Finn. And it got me wondering, will we get anything like that again this year? And do you guys think we will ever see the club fully come together with all four guys at some stage? Cheers, Rendo's. Here's the closest thing I can think of, the closest analogy. Like Ambrose and Rollins were backstage and Reigns passed by or something like that. And they just kind of say, good luck to you. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Like a Shield thing.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
More teasing for a full-on Shield reunion.
I think we're going to get that with the Shield.
Yeah. As for the club getting back together.
So like the
club. It's beyond the same brand, first of all.
The club literally, like, they beat the crap out of Finn Balor like less than a month ago, right?
Yeah, that sounds
right. Weren't they like sent out there against Finn?
Yeah.
So that's probably not going to be a thing. I could see, because they're kind of teasing them being tweeners right now, I could maybe see them interacting with AJ a little bit.
Yeah.
But AJ's such a face. I don't know if that's even going to happen.
Like, yeah,
the
I don't
club,
know either.
The club are still kind of dicks.
Yeah, they are.
And then AJ and Finn don't really have any reason to interact.
No, the Finn's last match in New Japan was the same show as AJ's first match.
Did they? I forget. I know they sent off AJ like by healing on him. Did they? They didn't do that with Finn though. Did they? Oh, they did. They did. Okay. Bummer for Finn. All right. Next up, Nicholas Groskirth. It was believed by some last year that Brock politicked to have the Universal title put on Goldberg. Do you believe Brock has that kind of stroke in WWE? And more importantly, do you think Brock will use said stroke to have Joe leave Brooklyn Universal Champion?
I talked about this. Sorry to interrupt you. Monday for the Raw recap, some that I was actually wondering the same thing, whether, because we heard reports about Brock being really happy about the feud with Samoa Joe, mm-hmm. and having a lot of respect for him, that if he would use, you know, any of his stroke backstage, if he had to say whenever he dropped the belt, say put it on Joe.
Yeah,
this guy's the real deal.
I would say that he's got stroke to a limit.
Yeah.
If they said, hey, I'll put it this way. If they said, hey, you know, we really want this to be Roman Reigns' moment, you know. It's one of those situations where I would imagine they would ask themselves what's more important. Getting some real fire out of Brock, like a good performance out of Brock. In which case, you're going to take what he says and you're going to work with that.
Yeah.
If he says, you know, I just don't think it's good money for Roman to pin me right now, we want to save that for Mania, I could see them saying, okay, well, how would you feel about them pinning Brock, or them pinning, Reigns pinning Braun,
yeah,
instead, and you being left out of it? And he says, you know.
Or if he says, you know, I got the win over Joe last time, I'm fine with him. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Lesnar's not getting pinned at SummerSlam.
No, he's not.
But if he was like, I'm cool with Joe pinning me.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Yes, he has stroke. He is the second highest paid person in the WWE. He probably wants to be the top paid person in the WWE, which is why he's threatening to go to UFC. And so if the WWE values what he brings to their brand, which is obvious they do,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to work with him. They're going to listen when he talks, and they're going to accommodate him to the degree that they feel they're comfortable accommodating him to the furthest degree they are comfortable.
Yes.
You know, if they want Braun to win and Brock says, I really don't want Braun to win, Braun's probably still going to win. You're going to get a crap performance out of Lesnar. And the WWE is just going to have to be okay with that, yep. because they want him to win that bad, if
yes.
that's the scenario.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, I think he does have stroke to a degree.
But it's not like Hogan. He doesn't have creative control.
It's not like Hogan in WCW when he literally has creative control. No.
Yes, no.
Hogan had the final say.
Constantino Barrera.
Hogan with... Oh man, I was reading up about like Nick Patrick was talking about Starrcade 97.
Oh gosh.
How there was supposed to be he was supposed to do a fast count on Sting, and everybody always remembers that he didn't. And he said it's because he had one guy, and I think he's talking about Bischoff, tell him fast count it, because that would make us send Brett out there, which they did.
Yeah.
To say, "Hey, this is crap." And Hogan told Nick Patrick, don't fast count it because it'll get more heat. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. On who? On who exactly? And so he says, I went with the guy who I thought had the most power. And nobody had more power than Hulk Hogan in WCW.
That's
and
crazy.
So he counted normal, got the 3 count on Sting. Bret Hart comes out, says, I'm not going to see somebody else screwed, which is why it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's great.
Constantino Barrera. Hey, friendos, after seeing Raw fallout, it seems like Dana Brooke will be joining Titus Worldwide. What do you think of this pairing, or do you think someone like Emma would have been a better fit?
I wonder to what extent we're going to see Dana Brooke, how much it's going to really affect Titus Worldwide.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like they don't have to travel together as a faction. We didn't even see Apollo Crews come out with him during the Cruiserweight match, and it was totally fine.
Yeah.
If it's going to mean Dana Brooke gets more of a spot, I like Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
If it means she's going to get more of a spotlight because Titus is going to be, you know, joining her for a segment or be at ringside with her, that's awesome. I think it's yes. fantastic. I don't think Emma needs it. I don't think it's good for Emma. Emma might have been on our power rankings list for people being released. I just thought about her
mm-hmm.
because I don't think, maybe it's just storyline. Maybe she's just tweeting out and making sure she gets permission to do this, but she does not seem happy because of the way that they're not using her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. But then I don't know. I mean, again, I simply don't know that the options for women wrestlers are out there like they are with men's wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That might be a bit more of, well, you know, I'm making good money here. So yeah. At least there's that.
Yeah. Who knows? Similar question. Undisputed Spotify champion Kevin Jenkins. Hey, friendos. First time question. Raw Fallout saw Dana Brooke as the first female signing of Titus Worldwide. My question is, could you see Titus Worldwide versus The Miz Taraj later down the line? Thanks, and keep on being amazing. Thank you very much.
I'd like to see something like that. Yeah, like a faction thing. That'd be fun because Titus can be manager and, you know, what I call him, coach, player coach.
Yeah.
You know, he can still wrestle, and he's got like a good, he's building a good faction.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Miz Taraj, the only other faction really we've seen. I mean, how great would it be if Titus was sort of, you know, there for Apollo? He's pushing Apollo Crews as the next Intercontinental Champion. Mm-hmm. And Apollo's on a really good trajectory right now, as long as they keep doing this Titus Worldwide thing.
Yeah.
I could see that being a good feud. Titus has been good, man. He's been good, like, walking that good line between, between like, being serious about this and being comical.
Yeah.
Like, he's walking such a good line.
Yeah, he really is. The whole Titus Worldwide storyline's been really good.
They have this is a really good, this could turn into a really good thing. Let's see here. Eddie Jose Guevara Menjivar. With WWE teasing us with a Shield reunion, what would you guys like them to bring back if they did reunite? I'm talking about the music, entrance, even their ring gear.
Music's still around.
Yeah, yeah. It's on a guy.
It's on one of them.
Also, what would you guys want to see if they reunited? I'm not a big fan. I don't want to see them go back to their Shield gear.
No, but I always liked the entrance to the crowd. That was always cool.
I know. I love that too.
But I agree with the ring gear.
So if they, let's say Survivor Series, you've got the tag champions, Rollins and Ambrose, and you've got the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, which neither of us really think is going to be the case. But let's say that is the case. Let's say Roman wins at SummerSlam. So if I come to Survivor Series, he's still Universal Champion. So you've got, you know, that dynamic again. You got the tag belts, you got the Universal Championship, and they're going to have a Survivor Series match against another faction of some sort. I could see them coming down through the crowd.
Yeah.
I could totally see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that, apart from the music, that's the only other thing that's essential about them being the Shield again.
Yeah, I don't want to see them in their SWAT gear. It already bugs me that Roman still hangs on to that.
Agreed.
So, yeah, I don't think.
But what else? What else would we want to see? CM Punk come back and hire them as hired guns again.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be good.
I think I had a dream. Now that you just mentioned that, I think I had a dream about like Ryback going through it, me putting Ryback through a table. I don't think
you putting Ryback through
a table? I think I put Ryback through
a table. Yeah, no chance that's going to happen.
Well, it could. Stranger things have happened.
Well, I mean, it depends on what vessel you use to put him through the table.
Listen, here's. Okay.
You're not going to powerbomb through the table. Come on.
Listen. Yeah. No. I'll help put him through a table.
What in capacity? That's what I mean.
Book Steve putting Ryback through a table. All right?
Okay.
Here it is. What is Ryback now at this point in his life?
That's a loaded question.
He's an independent wrestler.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Among many other things.
Yeah.
What is, we just heard about a recent a big name independent wrestler moving close to our area who will be making his debut at Supreme Pro Wrestling.
So you have a proxy.
July 27th, or August 27th, rather. So once the Deep V has made his name in Supreme Pro Wrestling, then we come in, debut the H belt.
And then Ryback comes in, challenges for it.
We convince Supreme Pro Wrestling to dump $4,500 on Ryback. He comes in to challenge for it. Our new faction like destroys Ryback, and then I put him through a table.
See, I'm fine with all that, but I mean Ryback's a large man.
Yeah. I choke slam him through a table. Choke slam is easy. Anybody can, like, I can do it because it's Ryback will be the one jumping.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a good hops, though.
Well, he can lean back into a table.
Here's a better way to do this.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Everything about your step is fine.
Good.
Adam Mayhem and Ryback have a forklift match.
Oh, SPW can afford a forklift.
Yes. I mean, if they're affording $4,500 for Ryback.
Oh, I think that might be the limit of their budget. But
a drop
ahead.
In the bucket.
Okay, let's say there's a forklift. So this is farm territory out here.
So forklifts involved.
Yeah.
So the whole entire match takes place on the forklift. There's a large pallet on the forklift.
A big pallet. There has to be a big pallet.
Yeah, and whoever gets taken off the forklift first is a loser. Whoever stands tall on the forklift wins the match.
Okay.
So they're wrestling. Adam Mayhem and Ryback are wrestling on an elevated forklift. Now, you wanted to help Adam Mayhem out, get involved. So you try to push Ryback off the forklift. He reverses.
No.
But you're holding on to his leg. Oh, you're dangling off the forklift.
Okay, wow.
And thanks to Adam Mayhem doing a move and you tugging a little bit,
yeah,
he comes crashing down through a table.
You know what I like even better? I like everything you said except me dangling because I'm not going to dangle. That's too physical.
There's drama involved there. Are you going to go through the table?
No, I'm like near the base of the forklift. He's on the edge of the pallet about to attack me. Super kick. He goes down into the table.
So, you know, it can't be some heroic gesture or awesome move on your part.
Why not? Then
there's no drama in that.
Live sex show. Me.
Oh, wow.
But it's just me. It's me touching my butt.
You.
Oh, man. I like all that, though. So my point is the pieces are in place for me to put Ryback through a table. I believe what I experienced was what they refer to as deja vu.
No, that's something. It's feeling like you've already done that before. What you're trying to say is premonition.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Premonition.
Tea leaves. Nostradamus.
Let's answer some video questions. First from Julian Morris. Let's see what Julian has to say.
All right.
Got a quick question. What has been your favorite vehicle usage in WWE? Be it the Corvette getting filled with concrete, Stone Cold Monster Truck, Kurt Angle's milk truck. Just wanted to see what you guys think. Larson, have a good vacation. Steve, try to stay out of trouble.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you, Julian.
So what's your favorite use of a vehicle in WWE? I know my favorite in WCW was the monster truck match.
Oh, that was great. Because afterwards, like, didn't Hogan throw Giant into the water?
Something like that.
Yeah, he threw Big Show into the water. So that was a great one. Let's see here. What else was there? I used to have like a little NWO car. I don't know why. I was like in college and I had a little NWO toy car. What other vehicles have?
Do you mean this?
Oh, no, I thought I had a different one. Maybe it was that one. DX driving their tanks.
That was good.
To WCW.
Stone Cold beer truck.
That's a classic
one. Kurt Angle's milk truck.
Yeah, those are great. Oh, when Vince McMahon's limo exploded.
Yeah. When Arn and Larry Zbysko broke Barry Windham's arm in a car door.
That's the best. That's number one. That's number one right
there. The enforcers break Barry Windham's arm.
That's number one. Get the showcase hands next. Lee Fox.
Lee Fox has a video question. Let's see what Lee has to say.
Hey there, friendos. It's your friend from across the pond, Lee Fox here. Back with another video question. My question is, I'm really enjoying NXT at the moment. But everyone I speak to, and I know you've mentioned it a couple of times, say it's not as good as the older product. I'm just curious to know how it's not as good as the older product, like before Finn, Joe, and Nakamura got called up. If that's the case, then what would you do with the current product to make it as good, if not better, than the old product? Thanks, friendos. Have a great day.
Thank you, Lee Fox.
So I actually have heard this. Off camera, I heard you say you hadn't really mentioned it. I heard people mention that before, but I kind of have heard this. And I don't know because I'm not there. Like, here's the thing. Like, okay, so our friend Karen, right? She is part of the NXT crowd. She's always there.
Yes.
In fact, I think tonight is a night that we get to see her giving she posted a picture on Twitter of Bobby Roode, and then she's right behind him with this disgusted look on her face, giving him a thumbs down. So hopefully if I can capture that, it'll be our thumbnail for the NXT episode. When you've been there that long, I could see how the crowd might be getting, like, they got so much good stuff, and back then it was theirs, you know? It wasn't like, I mean, yeah, more people, what? But like back then it was like that, like Sami Zayn was coming through and you were on a three year journey with him.
Yeah.
And they don't do 3 year journeys anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? So I would imagine
the closest we got to something like that was Ty.
Yeah.
But then they called him up.
Exactly. They called him up before. Yeah. And so I would imagine that, especially for that crowd, and I think it translates to TV, because there are some episodes when we're like, man, the crowd is kind of dead tonight. And it's obvious they're at the tail end of the taping.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, that being said, so I imagine they did, you know, they probably, it might have been better back then. I still love it. It's still my favorite hour of TV.
Yeah, still real good.
Because I love to see who's coming in. I love to see how they're going to be using people. And, you know, there's always, now there's always the exciting prospect of, ooh, who's getting called up? When are they going to call him up?
Yeah, or who's going to debut? Who's a free agent that's going to show up on?
Are we going to see? I'm pretty sure Adam Cole is going to be
at TakeOver.
At TakeOver. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think it needs fixing. I don't think there's anything you can do there.
It could be also be one of those things, you know, like you're a fan of a band and everybody has their specific favorite phases of band.
Right, exactly.
Some people that really got into NXT during a certain period, regardless of, you know, there's no way to say objectively the quality is better.
Right.
It's a subjective point of view. Everybody's going to have a favorite phase of NXT just based on their experience with it.
Yeah.
And for them, that'll always be prime NXT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I like going back to NXT when like Seth Rollins came in and became champion.
The very beginning.
Because the very beginning. Because only because, look, and it's not like my favorite era of NXT.
Moshed, right?
Well, it's because when you watch those first episodes, they're so weird because you get to see people like, wait, that's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's kid. I think it was Richie Steamboat. Mm-hmm. It's like, what happened to that guy? There's like weird people you never heard of. And then there's people that you totally know who they are now. And it's like, wow, that you get to see like the beginning of their road in the WWE. Yeah. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
So, yeah.
Next, Stevie Bradley has a question. Let's see what Stevie Bradley has to say.
Hey, friendos. The phenomenal cleaner AJ Omega here at work. Break time. Real quick, want to knock this out. First video question. Shinsuke, Cena, with Cena getting dumped on his head that way, do you think Shinsuke got in any trouble backstage for what he did to Cena, even though New Japan, that happens like on a regular basis, but Cena probably not used to getting dumped on his head. So wondering any repercussions that may come from this. Thank you very much. Too sweet.
Thank you, Stevie Bradley. Do you think Nakamura is going to get any heat for that suplex on Cena? No.
I doubt it.
No.
I would imagine it's one of those things people come back behind the curtain. They're like, hey, just be careful of the neck next time. You know, I don't know what he's going to get put here. What are they going to do? Have him lose to Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam? No.
No.
That's not happening.
No, there's no heat on Nakamura for
hey,
that.
Hey, let me ask something. How much would it kill Nakamura's heat? Or how much would it just destroy his momentum if he lost to Jinder Mahal at...
Well, if he lost clean a lot.
No, even if the Singh brothers came in.
No, I think it would take something more than that. It would take Baron Corbin coming in.
Yeah. Wait, it would take Baron Corbin. Oh, to beat. Oh, so, yeah.
I'm not just in terms of conceivably to beat Nakamura, just so he doesn't, you know, suffer from the loss.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's next?
Alexander Corrente.
Oh, Alexander Corrente. Let's see what he has to say.
Recently, I just went to my first Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling independent show, and that was my first independent show I've ever been to. It was fantastic. It's booked by Vince Russo. It was awesome. Some standouts I saw, Anaya of the Left Coast Gorillas, Curtis Cole, and Rolls Royce. It was by far one of my favorite wrestling experiences I've ever had. Just wanted to hear from you guys. What independent shows have you been to? Which was your favorite? And what was your take of seeing independent wrestling compared to some of the big production stuff you've gone to? Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you. That's
been
awesome.
A few indie shows, yeah.
So,
SPW included.
I have to mention this. Now that he mentioned, what is it called? Rocky Mountain?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, one of our friendos just the other day sent me this DM. Okay, so it's Rob. He goes by Dead_Riot24 on Twitter. And Rob sent us... So they got these celebrity video messages.
Yeah.
Celeb VMs. Yeah. .com. And he bought a celebrity video message for us from Vince Russo.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you very much, Rob. I had a lengthy back and forth with him.
It definitely brought
our gratitude.
Yeah, it definitely brought a smile to my face.
So we're not going to air it here because simply because of legalities. Celeb VM, they own the video and there's copyright issues, so we're not going to run it on the here. It's absolutely bizarre. It kind of shows because he says, like, because of... he said something like, because Steven Larson got me excited about wrestling again. He told this to Vince, I guess, in his little note. So Vince is saying, Steven Larson, whatever you guys did, to inspire the passion. And so I'm like, man, we spent an entire podcast running the Vince Russo heavy episode of Nitro. It's literally like instead of a trailer, that's our
kickoff
right now. So evidently we're not on his radar. I'm totally fine with that. I know, here's my thing. I don't want to be a dick to anybody.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, I don't want anybody to feel bad about like what they've done in their life unless they've done shitty stuff. And Vince Russo, from what I can tell, has never done anything crappy as a human being necessarily. He just wrote some bad wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I've never heard about Vince Russo, like, you know, beating up on anybody or taking a lollipop away from a kid, you know? And so I don't want me to, I don't want to be an asshole to anybody.
Yeah.
In fact, if we ever got Vince Russo on the show, I would love to ask him, hey, what was your biggest achievement during the Attitude Era? Yeah. Because I think a lot of the stuff that we love in the Attitude Era was, you know, some of it was his ideas.
Yeah.
So thank you to Rob.
Yes,
we really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I was like, oh man, is Vince Russo gonna find out like that we literally like have his picture three times in a thumbnail saying we review the worst episode of Nitro? I don't know. I'm sure he's probably heard worse from better. But anyways.
Back to Alexander's question.
Oh yeah. So he went to the show that Rocky Mountain Russo books currently. Yeah. He said he had a blast. Man, we've been to a lot of indie shows.
Yeah, we've been to numerous shows here in the Sacramento area. When we lived in L.A., went to a few just this year. We've seen Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. We've seen Progress, WCPW. Am I missing anything?
Probably.
Hopefully, we want to check out an APW, All Pro Wrestling show soon. Hood Slam. Hood Slams are running shows in Sacramento now.
They are so, I cannot tell you how much fun indie shows can be. For a wide variety of reasons. Here's the thing about indie shows. Because I've said this before. You have good wrestling, you have bad wrestling, and you have boring wrestling. Indie shows are almost never boring. Because you're there, you're looking at like, I'm not in shape. I look over and I see a guy wearing spandex about to throw down in the ring that is like in worse shape than me. And I'm like, this is absolutely hilarious. Or it's inspiring or whatever you want to call it. Indie shows are an absolute blast. We've been to a bunch in our day.
Yeah, it's a completely different interactive experience, too. I always remember one show we went to here. We were sitting second row, and just the conversations we were having back and forth with the wrestlers during matches were hilarious. They were playing off what the crowd was doing. The crowd was playing off what they were doing.
It's so much
fun. It's completely different. I mean, I think the closest analogy, at least in WWE, is maybe if you go to a house show.
Yeah.
The wrestlers might break character from time to time.
Right.
To give the fans there a different experience of what they might get on TV.
Yeah.
But for especially for indie shows, it's like that all the time. And it's usually a lot of fun. Next, from Jacob Omega. Let's see what Jacob has to say.
Hello, Steve and Larson. This is Broken Jacob Omega here, yes, with my first video question. There's been many superstars over the years that Meek Mahan has tried to have deleted from history, yes. I am wondering if there are five superstars that you would have deleted from history, who would they be and why, yes. Goodbye, O's of friends. Yes.
Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob.
Five superstars.
First of all, it's a pretty decent.
That was actually a really good impression.
Pretty good.
That was Matt Hardy.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Deleted from WWE. Five superstars deleted.
From their history.
From their history. Oh, wow.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, from their history.
I mean, Chris Benoit makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I know. I know. Some great matches, though.
I know, but.
Chris Benoit?
Yeah.
What about if the allegations against Abdullah the Butcher are true in terms of the lawsuit that was brought against him from Devin, I forget his name.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Hannibal, I think is his ring name. That Abdullah was intentionally or, you know, not telling people that he had Hep C while putting on matches. I would say Abdullah the Butcher
because
he's in the Hall of Fame. That's a messed up thing to do. That sucks. The evidence is too strong against Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
I'm about to bring him up too.
to, you know, I think he probably killed his girlfriend. He should probably be deleted. This is tough. And I, you know, feel free to give me shit for these. I'm just saying. And I know Benoit had amazing matches.
Yeah.
It was really fucked up what he did.
Yes.
And, you know, the question is, we have to delete five.
Yeah, I know.
You know? I'm thinking like the people have done worse than the,
I know,
the worst
I know.
Things.
So I'm trying to think about two.
Let's see here. Mr. Anderson. He hasn't really done anything wrong. I just, God, there's no reason for him never been in WWE. He's a trivia question. Who's the guy who ever got suckered into giving up his money in the pink briefcase? So I'm going to say Mr. Anderson, and I'm going to say, Candice Michelle. She was terrible. She was so bad.
There's a lot of bad divas.
Yeah, but she was like the epitome of like the worst. Nobody's ever wanted to bring her back. No.
She was the Hall of Fame this year. In the audience.
Oh, in the audience, yeah. I thought you were going to say she made the Hall of Fame this year.
No, probably not going to happen.
No way.
Next question from Patrick Sparks. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. Was watching the SmackDown stream earlier. Good shit, as always. Keep it up. On to my question. So, legitimacy is an important thing in this industry, and so I got some comparisons for you. Here we go. Legion of Doom versus War Machine. Tully and Arn versus the Briscoe Brothers. Vader versus Mick Foley. Stan Hansen versus Terry Funk. And an oddball one, New Jack versus somebody with the same felony record or felony charges. Or is just as insane. Or a legit murderer like him. What do you guys think? Thanks, friendos. Bye.
All right, so we didn't really understand this question, Patrick. You know we love you. But I think he's trying to say, is there somebody comparable to New Jack in terms of legitimacy?
That's the point of his question.
That's what he's saying?
Yes.
Who is like New Jack?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that. Like Crime Time? Their names are literally Crime Time. But I think that was all storyline.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing comes to mind.
Nothing comes. I mean, who has a lot of... I have no idea. I mean, you either go with like somebody like, I mean, Chris Benoit. I mean, you know, how many justifiable homicides did New Jack say he had?
More than one.
I think he had like a lot more than one.
Yeah.
Those, you know what a justifiable homicide is?
Yes.
It's when you take a life.
I understand what it is.
That's pretty hardcore. And I'm not saying that, you know, if it's justifiable by the U.S. court system, then hey, that's good. He did what he had to do to get by. I'm just saying.
I'm just thinking.
This is a heavy question.
It is.
Patrick
I'm just
Sparks.
Thinking in terms of the wrestler presented on television.
Yeah.
Like an analogy. And even that's difficult. I mean, there's been plenty of hardcore wrestlers.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just in terms of style, of character.
New Jack was a unique guy.
Yes, he really was.
Yeah. I don't know. You let me know in the comments. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even sure if we're answering the right question.
I don't know either.
Patrick Sparks.
I mean, yeah, legitimacy is an important factor in the wrestling.
We agree,
Patrick. It should be believable. Yes, I agree.
Oh, I love Pat. He's one of our oldest friendos.
Yeah. Pretty much so every week he sends in a video question, and we appreciate
it's
it.
It's great, and we love it. We love him so much.
Last video up. Question from Jake Riley. Let's see what Jake has to say.
Hey, guys. I had a question here about the ratings in WWE for both Raw and SmackDown. What do you guys think is the best way for the ratings to increase? I thought of two options, but I want you guys to figure it out. You can either put the TV rating back at TV-14, give us more mature storylines. Don't have to go back to like bra panty matches or chair shots to the head and blood every night. But just some mature storylines would be nice, change of pace. Or would you open up the wrestling more of like New Japan, where you get rid of the limits on what type of moves people can do, and let AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens do their entire moveset that we know that they're capable of. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
The best way to increase WWE's ratings? Two words. Boobies.
It's one word, first of all.
Bring back Candice Michelle.
You just said not to do that.
Delete. Great way to increase ratings. Just give Ed Nordholm however many hot dogs he wants for the broken IP, man. Just give it to him.
I don't think it's that difficult, honestly.
To come up with a bunch of hot dogs.
Well, that, yeah. But you know, we were talking the other day about Paul Heyman's tenure on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
And
how in such a short span of time.
And it was all done by creating interesting characters and putting on really good matches.
With existing people. Everybody has baggage of some sort. So you're bringing in, you're like, you're saying, hey, give me Chris Benoit, give me Eddie Guerrero. And people laughed him off. And then he made them into main eventers.
Yep.
Inspired creativity and vision. That's all it takes. Yep. That's all it takes.
You can't book a wrestling show week to week with the main goal of popping ratings.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process, and you need a steady hand and a vision of where you want things to go to make that happen.
Also, second rope pile drivers.
Well, that's part of the vision. Then, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Second rope pile drivers, that's where it's at, man. Anyway, I'm looking at New Japan.
Well, but that's just a small part of their larger package.
Was that spot of the year so far? Going in Raw spot of the year?
Might be. It might be a friend to award.
You know what's great about you going away? I get to watch so much more G1
same
now.
Same here. I'll have to be here for 5 hours a day.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good luck on your vacation.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, you might want to like put all our login info in a safe place. Like send it to me in a mail or just write it down over there so that when you die on your Caribbean vacation, that video will do huge. My comeback video, like when I'm like.
Yeah, you'll pop the Patreon for sure.
A lot of you guys know that. Larson.
I swear you can't wait till something
tragic,
awful happens to me.
Oh my God, I'd be devastated. I'd be so devastated. I would continue on.
Yeah.
But I would be devastated. Be like, you guys have probably heard the news at this point that Ann Larson, my best friend, partner for.
I said I wasn't going to cry.
Anyways, I'm going to be one of those YouTube videos. My favorite one of those YouTube videos was mine after we got laid off.
Oh, yeah.
And Lacey comes in and she says, she looks at the video on the screen, like as I'm recording it, she says, this looks like you're about to, this looks like you're videotaping your suicide. I was cracking up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyways,
that's it for now.
We're going to leave on that note.
I'm on my way out.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
Actually, no, we have to do non-news. Bye.
We got to do non-news. Bye.